We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We stole computers to do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers through mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio. This is Slicko. I am your host, and with me today for episode 1 of BaseNet Radio is Silent Slade. Say hi, Silent Slade.
Hello, world.
DMAD usually would be on this show, even though this is only episode 1. But we've been planning the show for quite some time, and DMAD's been...
Well, he's usually here.
But yeah, he's usually here doing all the recordings when everything goes wrong and we're not able to record.
Due to half an inch of snow, however.
Yeah, well, it was quite cold, and I can see why he doesn't want to leave, but...
Have him in a couple weeks.
Yeah. On this show, we discuss lots of news in the tech and computer industries that we find interesting. Of course, this includes some Slashdot, some other well-known sources, but we do try to find news that's not in the spotlight. Any reproduction or retransmission of this material is encouraged. That's why this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenet.slicko.net. That's... BaseNet dot slick the number 0 dot net. Now, before we go on to the first section, I would like to thank Binary Revolution and the members of the Digital Dog Pound for all their efforts in creating DDP Hack Radio. Thanks, guys. And now, what do you say, Slade, on to the first section?
All right, let's go. Let's head on to the news.
What do you got to us today, Slade?
Well, I guess we should start off, since it's our first episode, with some big news in the industry. What do you say we should start talking about Firefox?
Firefox, excellent.
Yeah, it's hitting big numbers now.
Really? How many downloads has it gotten so far?
Last time I checked, it was somewhere around the realm of 10 million.
Wow. That's not bad. I remember...
Wasn't it
just like a few weeks ago when it was at 1 million?
1 million, 10 million... High.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's a lot, and it's making a difference. It's definitely putting a dent in the market share.
Yeah, so it's already got 10 million downloads. Probably more. It's probably close to 11 by the time we're going to air this.
Really? Yeah, probably. That's true. Well, it's going to be what? This is airing in
an
hour and a half?
An hour and a half
or so.
Anyway, yeah, so it's hitting 10 million. They also just launched Thunderbird on their website.
Yes, that hit 1.0 also. Well, it's been around. It wasn't just launched. It just hit 1.0.
1.0, well, yeah. They launched the 1.0 version. And man, was it hard to get the first day. It was almost as slow getting on their website like when Mozilla Firefox was first released. The 1.0.
Okay. Wow.
I remember trying to get a theme for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to find out that it was the old version and didn't work.
Yeah, well, you can take the old version and just change a line in the jar file and you're all set.
Yeah, but some things didn't work correctly for some reason.
Oh, that's odd. Oh, well.
Eh.
Yeah, this stream is very interesting at the moment. Seems to be from Soul Blazer.
Yeah, that's just some classic music here for you. Now that Mozilla Firefox is released, a lot of the other companies are trying to, you know, up the ante with their own browsers.
Yeah, good luck.
I heard AOL is trying to launch their own browser now. Because one will let you surf the internet like AOL will.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, AOL, you just, like... What does AOL do that makes it special?
You've got Link.
Oh, God. Oh, and I've also heard about they may be offering VoIP service, AOL Canada.
You've got voicemail.
Oh, that would be horrible. I would hate to pick up my phone and hear you've got voicemail before I even got to a dial tone. If it comes to the day where I actually try out a phone with AOL, I wouldn't purchase it myself, but I of course want to try something else.
Yeah, of course, you just want to see what it's like. You don't want
to... Oh, yeah. It would be horrible to pick up the phone and hear that.
Have you just imagine what their customer service would be like. I wonder if they're going to give away free months of service for the phone as they would for their already crappy ISP service.
Well, you know what? They can't print out, like, millions of CDs and send them around for VoIP.
Print out cardboard phones.
Right. Put them in the little boxes that they have set up in pretty much every store you go into nowadays. I mean, where was it? We were at, like, a fast food place.
A Best Buy, a bookstore.
Oh, God.
You can probably find them in gas stations, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's really horrible.
I've seen them at a bank.
A bank. AOL CDs in a bank.
They were just sitting there, like, next to the ATM.
Did you happen to go to that bank? Use that bank?
No, I was just using the ATM for the sake of using the ATM.
Okay, because that would be bad if, like, the money that you put into the bank...
It was going to AOL?
Yeah. Then I would not throw any money into any bank like that.
It was somewhere out in Queens, so...
Okay.
If I go there again, I'll see if they still have it. Hope it was a joke. Anyway. Not only AOL's launching browsers and VoIP service. Thank God, AOL VoIP. Anyway.
Yeah.
Microsoft is also trying to up IE a little bit.
Really?
Finally considering to add some tabbed browsing to the thing.
Tabbed browsing? That's amazing. I never heard of such a thing
How
before.
How ingenious.
Internet Explorer.
You know what's going to kill me? I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, wow, these are great.
Yeah, and they're going to think that
Microsoft is a genius. Innovation. Oh. Anyway, so people are going to start thinking that Microsoft came up with the idea, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately. But then again, there's always people who think like that.
There's some Sonic on the radio. Anyway.
Is this Sonic?
Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah.
Ah, okay. Yep, Hedgehog 2. That's what the title of the stream says.
Yeah, so that's now launching. I believe Netscape is getting revamped again as well, using some of the Mozilla code.
Yeah, I've been hearing some from Netscape recently, too. News.
And, of course, the guys at Mozilla aren't done either. They're also launching they're working on a mini Mozilla browser for, like, handhelds and PAs and pocket PCs, too.
That's going to be fun.
That's good, because I don't want to resort to IE on my already vulnerable mobile smartphone.
Wow. I wouldn't want a phone that could run Windows-based code.
Windows CE on your phone. Yeah, this is an important phone call. Blue screen of death.
Yeah, trust me. When you're using your phone, the last thing you want to hear is, like, this sound right here. You definitely don't need that on your phone. It'd be like you're taking a call, and if your VoIP, your new VoIP cell phone service in the future is running Windows CE, it's going to be like you're talking to your friend, and then all of a sudden, connection disconnect.
Call drop.
You know, they'll make, like, a fatal exception OE has occurred on your call to your friend. Yeah, who knows?
Please hang up and dial again.
Yeah, but actually, from what I've seen recently, recent trends have been proving that Linux has been doing much better in the embedded field.
That's true, yeah. You can put Linux on practically anything nowadays.
Yeah.
People have been so creative.
Well, it's not as portable as some operating systems.
But come on, I mean, you can create, like, you can take that stupid Roomba.
Oh, yeah.
An LCD monitor to it.
You can?
Yeah, I've seen
it. I haven't heard that. Wow, that's
pretty
cool.
On the web. It was a Roomba with an LCD screen on it and some other robotics add-ons.
That's definitely something. That's definitely something to Google for.
Yeah, I'll find the site and I'll bring it in next week. I remember seeing the little Roomba hack there.
Interesting. I know a lot of people are working on the iPod hacks, speaking of, like, hardware hacking.
Oh, yeah, there's some great iPod hacks. There's a lot of iPod hacks.
Well, actually, the iPod hacks are more firmware hacks.
Some of them are firmware. Some of them are... I believe there was another one recently where someone was thinking of setting it up so that you can download information off your computer wirelessly off the iPod.
That's a good one.
Making it possible for you to use your iPod for war dialing. Well, they haven't gotten that far yet, but if you can get it off your computer, you can get it off anyone's.
Wow. So war dialing...
War
driving?
Well, I guess war potting, in this case.
War potting. Okay, they added a Wi-Fi device to it.
You can add on a Wi-Fi device.
War dialing is... You gotta...
Well, think about it. If you can... go wireless with your iPod.
Yes.
To your computer.
Yes.
You can use it for, like, war driving purposes.
War driving, right. War dialing.
Not at the same time. You can also set it. There's so many hacks for the damn thing. You can do VoIP.
Oh,
you can do,
I was not thinking of that.
Think of how many things you can do with a wireless iPod. It's so small.
Well, you could do that with anything.
And it has, like,
40
gigs
access.
Of space.
Yeah, that's true. It's the
that's the ultimate sneaky device right there.
Yep.
Add a little camera, and the iPod Photos are probably going to have one of those add-ons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it pretty much...
Apple's selling the next generation of spy gear.
You
right?
can change the images on the iPod. That's another hack. And, I mean, that's like, pretty much they already have an iPod Photo.
Right, yeah. And you have the ability to make cheap movies by just scrolling through the throw them as a slideshow, too.
Yeah.
That was another interesting hack recently.
Yeah, they have a lot of fun stuff to do with that. I don't have one. What is this? I recognize this. Ah, Ninja Gaiden.
Oh,
or Gaiden,
wow.
However it's pronounced. I don't even know. Yeah, that's what happens when you read too many magazines or books and you don't actually listen to people. Then you don't know how to pronounce crap.
Well, there's not like there's a pronunciation key for old Nintendo games.
Yeah, especially when old Master System games have interesting phrases. Don't say it.
Alright, I'll keep quiet.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've already covered the browser market, i.e. Mozilla and all that.
Is that more covered?
You know what I haven't heard from in a while?
What's that?
Opera.
Opera. I've heard about that recently. I forget what it was. But I did hear something. Maybe it was just mentioned in a Firefox article or something.
Yeah, like, as in three people use it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's actually a lot of people do.
Just today in major news that made Slashdot is OpenOffice has a 2.0 preview release.
Oh.
Haven't tried it yet. Don't know how it is, but they claim to have better Microsoft Office compatibility, which is definitely a plus.
Yeah, especially so people don't have to rely on the $500 software.
Yeah, especially since, like... huge dramatic. I mean, most Linux users need to have a Microsoft Office compatibility. So
for work or anything.
Right. True.
But I don't understand why Office costs so much when it's just simple. We've already had 1,000 versions of this software.
Well, I don't know.
I'm writing a document, and I mean, I can use Notepad for most of the stuff that they need you to do.
But before
maybe Excel.
Before Office, and I believe they still sell this today. I've heard. Is my favorite oxymoron.
Oh, Microsoft Works.
Yes.
Oh, man. You know what's even better than that?
What's that?
Microsoft Works Suite.
Wow, I didn't even think of that one. Good one.
Yeah, I heard someone mentioning it today. I'm like, oh, man.
Wow.
That's really rough.
Yeah, the Microsoft Works Suite. No, it doesn't.
If ever.
Yeah, if ever. Well, it did work. Microsoft has worked before.
So
I think I have to give Microsoft credit in the only good thing they actually did. Basic.
Oh, wow, yeah.
They actually did that and made it easy for people to code. And it was just like, you didn't need to know much to make a simple loop printing your name, but it was still fun to do.
But the bad part is that a lot of people tried not to learn. And then when the program doesn't work, they have no clue what the hell they're doing. Which is bad.
That's true.
So if you know what you're doing and you want a quick fix just to do something simple,
right?
VB was really cool. You can just, you know, drag and drop your labels, da 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 da, hit the button.
No doubt
what you wanted to do.
No doubt it's no Unix shell, but
yeah, but
for the people back in the 80s, for the price, it was pretty good. Especially since it didn't need to be created into an executable at the time.
Right.
You could just run the .bash file and it'll be set.
Yeah, but nowadays. I don't see the point.
No, it's Visual Basic.
.NET. Don't forget .NET.
Why are they pushing that so big, like, so much?
The .NET framework, because it lets you do other extensions. It has more compatibility with MySQL. Better for big business. Add more stuff. They pay more money.
Okay.
Well, that whatever that was, back then.
Yeah, you picked an interesting stream here.
Just something at random.
Yeah, if anybody wants to request a new stream for us, to send an email to basenet@slicko.net.
Because it seems that on Monday nights, they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, either that or it's just picking all the bad songs right now.
Well, Sonic wasn't so bad.
No, Sonic was alright. But, oh well. Not too worried about that.
Maybe we should just start creating our own music.
Yeah, I think if I could do just a simple, maybe like a two-part loop or something to go on for a half hour or a couple hours.
That would be nice. And
yeah,
simple.
It would be all this weird changing music that we hear throw us off.
Instead of this like cutesy stuff.
Yeah, this has got to be the beginning of video games turning into your like stuff that your kid could use. Let's see. Oh, yes, it is. Actually,
what is it?
Who is it who was talking about this game, said it was good? No one I know. They were saying it recently. Super Mario RPG.
Oh, my God. This is a Mario theme?
Yeah, this is a Mario song.
What happened to, you know...
What happened to Mario being an old Italian plumber stomping on Goombas? I mean, wow, that game changed.
Yeah.
That was such a racist game, originally. It was
racist. That had like
drug-related
issues. With the mushrooms and the flower power.
You get the flower power, and you're able to shoot fire. And,
or you just chuck lighters at people.
Who knows what it was referring to?
What the inspiration was, but it's obviously induced by some sort of mushroom trip.
Yeah, too many shrooms for the programmers of that game.
It's just insane with the plumbing and the...
Yes. Wow.
And don't forget, I can stop bullets.
Yeah. And Nintendo, speaking of them, their newest thing, the...
Oh, the DS,
Dual screen, yes. Why in the hell did they put the screen one above the other?
I don't know.
You got two eyes, one's on the left, one's on the right. Wouldn't it make more logical sense to put the one screen on the left, one screen on the right? You know, even if you're not going for any special 3D effect or anything... Your visibility goes that way.
I figured they didn't want to, like, you know, have you split your vision line.
No, but you wouldn't.
I don't know. Don't look at me. I didn't create it.
I mean, sometimes I have two monitors on my box, and I'm able to use that without a problem.
No, sometimes
one
I have,
on the
like,
left,
sometimes
one on the
I
right.
Sometimes I have, like, three monitors up.
Yeah.
TV,
right?
My monitor, the laptop. You're like this when you're all right.
Exactly.
But you're moving left and right here. You know, your head moves left and right, but naturally.
Well.
It's pretty easily.
You mean your head doesn't move up and down naturally?
It does, but I'm already leaning
down
when I'm looking at my laptop.
Just making sure. Otherwise, you got a
problem. How much more down do they want me to go? In any case, so the only cool thing about the DS is that it has a touchscreen. The bad part is that it's so small.
Yeah.
Like, if you have, like, a big thumb, you just touch the whole screen. Like,
wow.
Think about it.
You need, like, a medical syringe-sized stylus in order to pinpoint what you want, I guess.
At least they're going to a different realm when it comes to setting it up. Because if you have one screen, you can have your menu and your options and so on. The other screen, you can have your, you know, link stabbing it.
Oh, that's good. So you don't need to constantly be hit and select. And
switching weapons and stuff. You can just, you know, quickly touch the weapon you want to use and then continue playing.
Okay.
Well, at least they could do that. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I haven't picked the DS up too much yet. I'm sure it's a lot of fun.
I haven't touched the DS at all yet, honestly.
But the bad part is it has wireless, so you can play with your friends and things like that. But it's interfering with TVs, as you said?
That's what I heard. I forgot to save the link, but I did find somewhere that there was... that they were testing... I forget if it was what the website was. You know what? I'll try to find that really quick.
So what was it? Like they were trying to test the DS capabilities and they suddenly noticed that TV monitor is going out?
Yeah.
Is it sort of like when you hold a cell phone up to your monitor kind of thing?
I believe so.
Wow,
my first guess and that was the site. It was Hackaday.com.
Oh, yeah. Figures. Those guys have great stuff. Usually very hardware-related hacks, too. It's like old-school hacking.
I like that. Well, it's hacking. There's no old-school hacking. There's no new-school hacking.
You know, before there was much to work with, people used to really, you know, they used to make their own boards. They used to make their own computers.
Yeah.
And then they wrote software for them.
Right.
So if you want to go for the oldest possible way of hacking, when it comes to, you know, computers, it would be hardware.
Okay, yes, it says here one Hackaday investigator pretty much confirmed that when the DS launched, the signal actually interferes with televisions.
Oh, great.
And it says right beneath that, so there might be some cool hacks to tune it better or something else like jamming it. Imagine trying to jam the wireless that the DS uses.
The DS. That would be wrong.
I'm trying to wonder what the hell could be causing the interference. I mean,
so
you think radiologically it's probably a harmonic of the frequency that they're transmitting on, since it's got to be out of spectrum, out of like licensed spectrum.
I see this ending badly. I see people playing video games with each other, and when they start losing, they just turn on their jamming device.
The TV. No, actually, it appears that
the TV jams it?
No.
Okay.
It jams the TV. Well, I'm not sure if I'm reading it wrong. Yes, it says the signal interferes with televisions.
Well, that's one way to get control of the TV.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to change the channel? Fine, I'll just play a game with.
Yeah, find out what's making find out where the transmitter is in the DS and hack it to put a little RCA input on there.
Uh-oh.
So you can plug in any video input, like any pornographic tape or something.
This is not going good.
Another way, all of a sudden,
you've taken over all of Best Buy's TVs.
It's another way that Slicko could possibly come up with to take over a television, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I thought the electronics box was...
Yeah, that's true. Shouts to 2600 who printed my article recently on a piece of crap that I have to work with.
I thought it was called something else, like something gay, like ACD, IP.
CCD/IP is the name of it.
What does the D stand for?
You know what? I searched their entire manual. Any information papers I got from them, it is not an acronym. It does not appear to stand for anything.
So they just made up a word and threw it there.
No,
it's pretty.
They just took an already made up word and picked the letter.
So, like, what?
And changed it.
So the next version of it will be the TCEIP? Is that what it is?
Oh, God knows. I don't want to know. But, yeah.
In any case, if you want to learn more about that, just pick up the latest issue of 2600 and you should see it all in there. Because there's way too much to say on the
Now, there's a lot of fun things you can do with this, too. Like, if you run the command ++, then the ++ interface number if it's a RP unit. And then, after that, type init disk. That wipes out the entire server.
Whee!
Now, by video server, all it is like a 80 or 160 gig disk that's able to store data, or store video, rather.
Wow. Could you imagine what would happen if, like, the season's finale of some important show?
Oh,
like,
if
it was Friends or something on TV,
deleted? I do not think any major networks would use that piece of equipment.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised.
They would shell out the extra bucks for something that works. Because recently this has had some issues where pretty much if you go over a certain file size, the BIOS, they upgraded their newer servers from 80 gigs to 160 gigs. They must not have set the BIOS right, because once you pass that 80 gig mark, it's trying to do a few things at once. The way it was probably trying to read the disk for the faster mode, trying to be able to do three things at once, it was just crashing and saying, oh, that part of the disk doesn't exist, meaning this disk was not formatting, meaning let's format it now without notifying the user.
Yes, because he said it's okay.
Yes.
You know, we say so. Great.
It's not fun.
And you had that problem for 3 or 4 occasions. I remember you calling me up, bitching and screaming.
It happened again.
It did again.
Yeah.
They're throwing this shit out the window if it does it one more time.
Yeah, definitely. More than 4 times, I believe. Probably about 5 or 6. More accurate. Yeah, it was over a few months, and then apparently a fix came out for it, and an engineer installed it. All was said.
When all said and done, it was...
But, you know, I still don't like it.
Yeah, well, it's still evil.
It still
does its own thing on occasion.
They must have had, like, 5 different teams working on their software interface for it, too.
What?
Because
Do you see different-looking code on there, or did you not get that far?
No. I can't see the code. It's pre-compiled binaries, of course. It runs on Windows.
Oh, right.
So, yeah.
Windows or MS-DOS or something.
No, it runs on Windows. I don't know what the TCDIP itself runs, but the controlling computer.
Oh, the controlling software runs on Windows. Well, it has to run on Windows.
Right. So it was just the way, like, certain widgets worked one way, and another widget would work a completely different way, even if it was the same widget, just because different program assignment. This is the best song in video game history. I'm so glad this came up. This is, like, the Beethoven 7th of video game music. It's great.
Mega Man.
Wireless stage, and I didn't even have to look at that. Okay. Sorry about that little interruption.
We're kind of deep into retro gaming on this show, so... I don't know, maybe we might have to just keep the stream just for moments like this. No, don't bring out the guitar.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to
play it. It's not tuned. Maybe next time.
Good point, very good point.
You don't want to play the untuned thing on the radio.
I tuned it before, but it's not going to be tuned with this.
Anyway,
go on. I apologize.
No. You were talking about your passion, you know, your little discovery there. All right, so what else is going on in the news today? Well, we're still mentioning browsers. Now, did you know that recently Microsoft acquired a couple spyware companies, I believe one major one in particular? They're trying to, you know, cut down on spyware to their operating system. It's a major problem with Windows. So many programs are built just to take advantage of the insecurities in IE, and just Windows Messenger also.
Okay, but what are they trying to accomplish by buying them out?
Well, see, what they're trying to do is they're trying to set it up so that eventually there'll be some sort of Windows update that'll put a spyware blocker or checker onto your computer.
But won't that conflict with all the Windows updates that puts the spyware on there in the first place?
Well, you know, Windows updates conflict with each other all the time.
Good point.
When you think about it, remember Service Pack 2? Oh, okay, it's great. Now I have a pop-up blocker, and I can get off the internet.
Yeah,
and wait, I can't go to Windows Update anymore. What's going on?
You know, I don't even use XP if I have to use Windows. And I ordered a Service Pack 2 CD. Using the name Linus Torvalds. That was fun, just to have the CD saying, "Hey, you're from Microsoft, update information, please install this quickly." Yes, it's
on what box exactly?
What was that?
On what box exactly? Yeah. No Windows box anywhere in here.
My parents have a Windows box.
I'm gonna try for now.
I mean,
they don't really need Windows.
They're not
doing anything.
They absolutely don't. They don't use anything that's not Windows.
Open Office, and that's about it.
Yeah, I got my parents using Open Office. I got my parents using Mozilla, Firefox, to be specific.
Hey, that's fine. That sounds familiar. Okay, so you know what?
Does not all video game music sound familiar?
But you do know where this is headed, though. With the spyware buying, they're actually going to charge for this. Oh
God, that's a good point. If they're buying it, they're looking to get money from it.
Right, so they'll probably sell it as some sort of, Microsoft Windows Spy Cleaner.
Here's a question.
2003.
Here's a question. Forget Spy Cleaner.
I don't know.
Why not just work on removing the holes that allow the spyware to get in there in the first place? Or is that too much work?
Too much money in there.
Oh,
yeah. Why patch up the holes for free with your contract when you can sell something that does it for you?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, they should, in all honesty, do it. Or if they can at least release part of their code so we can look at it and do it ourselves.
Yeah, Microsoft will release code.
If they don't do it, eventually it's going to be leaked. It's going to happen one day. Parts of it were released for 2000.
That's true. That was it. When did that happen? About a half year ago?
6-7 months ago. I still have it sitting out somewhere.
Oh, you do have it?
Of course.
You know you can never code again since you looked at it.
Who said I looked at it? I said I had it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Oh.
Smart choice of words, my friend. I heard all...
And what exactly is looking at? Is looking at the file name looking at it?
No, I believe you would have
to open the file
first.
I'm not
a lawyer.
Okay.
I really
it's sitting around there somewhere.
Yeah. I wonder if there's still any torrents of it.
Well, did they ever discover who released it?
Speaking of torrents, a lot of torrent sites have been taken down recently.
Yeah, it's not the sites themselves, it's actually the trackers that are getting the flag.
Right.
So you can get the torrent, it just won't ever find the tracker, because the tracker's been removed.
Okay. So it's a matter of people actually tracking themselves.
Right. So now you have to set up some sort of alternative means to have the tracker set up.
It's not that we are all for illegal usage of BitTorrent.
But some of those trackers were actually, you know, using real open content, too.
That's true. Some of those trackers did have,
you know, totally free content. Yeah. People were streaming their programs on the BitTorrent trackers.
Because usually when I go to websites and the website says, here's a torrent file and here's all this, I usually go for the torrent right away now.
Right, because it's a lot it's a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, sure, you could get from their server at about, like, 200K
right.
a second, let's assume. But then you could get from three other people at that same speed and download it at 800K. So it's very nice. Well, that's assuming you have the download
the ability
bandwidth.
To go to
yeah.
See, I usually just grab it right off the server because I'm still running on DSL. Well, as soon as I get my cable, the server's going bye-bye. I'm going to grab it right off of the torrent.
The torrent? Well, even still, because sometimes servers are slow. Sometimes they get called out to 40K.
The thing is, with BitTorrent, how much you upload is how much you can download. They have a ratio limit. And my upload sucks so much. Well, I can't say that on the radio. That's just wrong. But it sucks so freaking bad that I have to use the server because I will never get the maximum download speed.
Okay.
Thanks, Empire Ryzen. I see all these companies, they're raising their speeds for internet connections, like Time Warner Cable's Roadrunner service just jumped to 5 megabits.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Optimum Online's already at 8, 10.
Really?
What are they at?
I don't know. I don't.
Don't you have one of those connections?
I do have Optimum Online, but I never bothered to test the speed.
So it's like 800K, so that's like pretty close to 8, 10 megs already.
No, actually I've gotten files downloading over 1 meg.
So you have it pretty much almost uncapped.
I don't know. I haven't uncapped
it really high speed.
It's at
a really high speed, so.
Oh, yeah, it's at a nice speed. Definitely.
Yeah, it's at like a. But then you look at other connections, like Verizon's leaving like 3. Until they launch their FTTP in a couple months.
Oh, that's going to be interesting. What areas are they launching that in again?
I spoke to a representative, you know, old school talking. Found out that they're going to do the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, and Staten Island first. And they're already starting to do fiber upgrades in Staten Island.
Oh, wow. And are they doing Jersey?
I was just asking for New York, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll ask about Jersey next time. You can give them a call.
Excellent.
You can just social engineer them. They're so tired in the morning that they won't notice.
Who knows?
And just ask them a couple questions, you know, and then come back and call back and say, yeah, I have a customer asking about this. Say that you're a representative from somewhere else. And, you know. Did I say that out loud? No. Anyway.
What's wrong with saying it out loud?
You'd be surprised how easy it is, you know? Like, if you just say you're from another department, sometimes they just accept it off the bat.
Well, yeah, definitely. Like, it's just human nature, too.
Like, it's so complicated. You have to have your eyes and ears open, but whatever.
So I could just be like, hi, my name is Joe Blow from Payphone.
From Payphone?
No, because they do have department, and they call it payphone. I was just wondering out of curiosity. I know you were getting FTTP out there soon. I'm just wondering when it's going to be hit in Jersey, if there are any plans to anytime soon.
There you go.
And somebody will actually respond to that as if, oh, yeah, yeah. Like every day, like, they're actually working, and they're just interested in what the guy's working in.
Well, you could just say you're from billing. Billing is every place
that's true.
Has a billing.
That's even better. But, I mean, of course the telco... Telcos usually have, like, payphone. What else? I don't know. I'm having a brain fart.
Billing.
Definitely. Yeah, billing. What doesn't have billing?
Tech ops or tech support or something.
Yeah. Well, they call the different places
some
call them different things.
Game, right?
Yeah.
Fantasy Star or something? What the hell is this?
What? Oh, this game? Let's find out. It is Castlevania.
Oh, never mind. It was a role-playing game.
Which Castlevania?
3?
Maybe. It's definitely not 1. Or at least I've never gotten this far. Castlevania 3, yeah.
I'm pretty good. I got lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Must have played it too much in my childhood. Anyway, we were talking about Verizon. Yeah, every company has one of those departments.
Human resources.
Oh, no. Their entire job is to manage the resources, the human resources.
Yes.
Ugh. How can you get away with such a blatantly sadistic name, too?
I don't know. Well, it, Like, human resources.
Why don't you just say slavery department?
There's so many different names for human resources, though.
HR, human resources, and what else? PR, public relations, the most?
No, that's public relations. That's not human.
Sometimes they do. That's like, not they're like a subset of HR in a way.
Yeah. Probably employee resources.
Personnel.
Personnel is somebody that's just there.
No, like a personnel department.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Duh. Okay.
Yeah, anyway, so I guess they might have their own names. And then, of course, there's always the inside acronyms that everyone has.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
On to the next piece of news. Yeah, we are getting off a little bit. What's the next slice of news there?
Well, the next slice of news, let's see. All right, did you know about AT&T? I mentioned this to you in passing before.
Well, I did notice this, specifically speaking of AT&T. Near my house by a highway there is what used to be an AT&T store. They just, I just noticed today, they took down the nice big AT&T and put a nice big orange singular there.
Orange? Really? Not blue?
No, not blue. Well, I mean,
is that just for the commercial?
You gotta figure, orange and blue are complements, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
So... It goes together perfectly.
Right.
And
it's like the...
Kind of,
red, green, orange, blue, purple, yellow.
Yeah.
Missing a set, I'm sure.
AT&T really pushing their, singular now, if they call it that.
Yeah, so now we have AT&T merging with singular.
That's old news, but...
but they've officially completed the whole thing.
Yeah.
They're on the website and everything. The rumors that Nextel is going to be taking Sprint... Or the other way around.
I've heard the other way around, honestly.
Right.
Which is
scary.
A lot of people I talk to
if they have
say
Excel,
if that happens,
dumping it. Right.
Yes. I know somebody who already did dump it.
Oh, wow. Just because of the rumor.
Yes.
That's harsh.
Yeah. Well, he never really liked the Nextel service. He liked the two-way, but he just knew people who worked for Nextel and was able to get...
Free calls to them.
Cheap
so,
phones. Yeah. Replace his phone if he got... felt it was getting old on him, and
if you have a connection, like I wouldn't have the cell phone service I have if I didn't get a discount from, where I work. But it's just amazing, like the companies are being bought out so quickly. There's something going on out there.
Yeah,
like what's left? We have T-Mobile and Verizon Wireless. And if they merge.
Oh God, the three big ones is
T-Ryzen.
Yeah, T-Ryzen.
No. Terrorizing.
Treason.
Treason. I think terrorizing is the best.
Yeah. That's.
So we'll have three big companies probably.
Yeah.
Is the way it's gonna look.
And there's also all those there's like that Virgin Mobile thing.
Oh yeah, but that's probably piggyback off someone else.
Yeah. I can't recall at the moment.
Yeah, but and then in any case, they have what, prepaid only? Do they have their
I'm not sure if they're only prepaid or if they have their... That's a good question.
Well, in any case, I wanted to mention all this because it's leading into AT&T, not the wireless AT&T, the regular AT&T, the old school AT&T. They're actually working with Intel to perform a WiMAX solution. I mentioned to this in passing before. And... It would support up to 40 megabits per second over 28 miles.
Wow. 28 miles?
28 miles.
Wow, create VoIP phones for using Wi-Fi.
You can put a tower in the middle of Manhattan Island and cover the whole thing.
That's amazing. Well, no, you could put a cover where I am here about 70 miles out of Manhattan and cover Manhattan.
Right.
Except for
the edges and stuff.
Yeah,
but
the whole line of sight thing might... kind of cut it that
right
way.
Right in Times Square, just pop a tower down, and you have one 40 megabit per second connection. Covers the entire city. Now, if you put
a 40 megabit? Wow.
Right, 40 megabit per second, which isn't a lot for one tower, because a lot of people will be connecting to it, and just that will be sharing it and distributing it lower. But if you have multiple towers, all being able, going over 28 miles, you wouldn't have reception problems anymore.
Yeah.
And with WiMAX, you can use VoIP.
Oh, they're calling it WiMAX?
WiMAX.
I missed that before. Okay.
Yes, WiMAX. Not Wi-Fi, it's WiMAX.
Wi-Fi.
I think they were working on something similar in France, trying to set up a WiMAX network over the entire country.
Interesting.
Which shouldn't be too hard with the 28-mile range.
France is smaller than 28 miles?
No, what I'm saying, but you don't need that many towers if you have 28.
Okay.
Not with a regular...
I don't know geography, so... Please mind.
Well, I don't know. Manhattan Island's like 33 miles long.
Yeah. Wow.
So if you put one tower in the middle, you cover all of Manhattan, and parts of the Bronx, parts of Staten Island,
parts of Jersey. Wow.
And if you put multiple towers all on top of almost every building, you got a huge network with lots of bandwidth. And you can probably get reception in the subway.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, you know, did AT&T sell their wireless half on purpose? Further plans in the future?
Wasn't AT&T Wireless not part of the AT&T company?
Was it another company that started up and took the name?
I thought it was that AT&T Wireless was originally a subset of AT&T, but AT&T got rid of it.
Okay, so they...
But they kept the name AT&T Wireless until they merged with Singular.
Okay, so...
That's how I believe it was. If I'm wrong, it could correct.
Well, I didn't do too much in soul searching on AT&T Wireless. I never really liked AT&T Wireless to begin with.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm sure someone out there will know, and if you have any of that information, you can always, you know, forward it to us. All the contact information is on the site.
The site, which would be basenet.slico.net.
And remember, Slico with a zero.
Yes.
Okay, so what else is going on in the news today?
Let's see.
Okay. We're just looking through current articles and things we have here. Oh, yeah, I remember this. Feds say 70% of IT systems now secure.
What? And all the polls are saying that, wow. I'm sorry, that just blows my mind. That 70% of
IT.
PCs or IT?
IT systems.
IT systems. Okay.
Now, what exactly do they mean by an IT system? Kind of open-ended.
In other words, 70% of people working in IT... believe their systems are secure is more. I think that would be more accurate.
It's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, the other thing is, it has something to do. This is a White House report saying that e-government. This is one of those quote, you know, new words, put a dash in there, is maturing, and that the government says that their IT systems are secure and the performance is improving. Well, performance better be improving, but
I hope it would be.
With all the huge increases in hardware power the last, 3 years?
Yeah.
Over the last 3 years, we've gone from going about 500 megahertz processors to 3.5, 3.6 megahertz processors.
Yeah, they're really getting up there now.
Right, we have boards that are just slower than... The bottleneck is now the motherboard, I think.
Well, it's been the board for quite some time now.
Right, so it's... They were limited to their hertz speed and the front side bus. And
yeah. Now even front side bus is even catching up now.
Right.
I know,
got 1100 to 1200 speeds.
In the Apple architecture, the front side bus is never like a static thing. Like there's no like 533 board. There's no 800 board. There's that. They change it per each unit.
Oh really?
But then again, they're only one company. They only make so many units.
Right.
So it's not like they're like company like Asus or. What is it, Gigabyte or something?
Gigabyte, Asus, 8-bit.
Right, other ones that use, like, OEMs and stuff.
Right, they try to keep it all structured and simple so that you don't have to have problems with compatibility.
Right.
Not like Apple, I can't just easily change parts around.
Yeah. I know that.
Yeah, you just recently had an issue with that.
Oh, yes. Actually, this was,
3-4 weeks ago?
No, that was just this past week, actually. You're talking about 3-4 weeks with this one.
Yes.
Oh, yes. My laptop, I brought to CompUSA, CompUSA for...
Go on.
I bought it because I wanted them to fix the audio out, which is actually running the stream and all the sound effects on the show.
Well, let's get to that later. Go on.
Yeah. And, when I had headphones or any type of thing in there, and it wasn't at a specific angle where, like, I would need, like, a pencil or a pen underneath it to hold it right there.
I remember that.
Yeah. If I didn't have that, it would just, like, cut off and start using the internal speaker.
Right, and then, of course, there would be a really annoying pop every time it did that.
Right. Right. Well, I brought that to CompUSA to get that fixed.
Because they have Apple Cares.
I have the Apple Care plan. Yes, I have an Apple. And one of my computers. And what happened, first I just dropped it off there, and they said, okay, you're okay with leaving this here for a week to get this done? And I'm like, yeah,
week?
Sure,
fine, whatever.
I'm sure I'll just come back in a week. And then I went there the next week, and they said, okay, yeah, we'll give you a call when it's finished. It hasn't been checked up on yet. I took a look at the screen when the guy wasn't looking, and it said finish date was like a day ago or something from that time. Then
wow.
I'm like, okay, I'll let this go.
He didn't
then,
even bother to look at the screen?
No call a week later. I go there, and I check up, and the guy said, oh, well, the part was ordered, but it might be on delay, which was
right.
Definitely a lie, because the week after I went there, and then the guy's like, nobody called him yet? And what ended up happening was they didn't even touch my laptop.
They never even looked at what
the
was
guy,
wrong.
The Apple Tech quit.
Ah.
And they were going to ship it to another CompUSA with an Apple Tech to probably ship it to Apple anyway. So
why don't you
I just said,
cut the middleman?
Exactly. That's what I did. And I called Apple and shipped it out, and I have it back.
Did they charge you at all for anything?
Oh, no. It was under AppleCare.
No, for the shipping, I mean.
Shipping, no.
All right, so you CLD
it was,
or?
It was a free fix.
No, I mean, did you have to pay for shipping it out?
No. Free fix.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, that was definitely a nice thing.
I think that was probably the fastest you've ever seen anyone repair a computer, considering that it was in
4
transit.
4 weeks?
No, I mean, once you called Apple.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was in
right.
transit more than it was at their location.
That's
you sent it out, and within 48 hours, you called me back and went, hey, guess what I have?
That's true, because, what was it? I shipped it Tuesday.
Right.
I got it back Thursday. That was
and considering that it was probably in a truck overnight.
I saw the box there, and I thought it was, like, something that somebody else ordered or something. And I took a look at it, and I'm like, Apple? I'm like, no.
You turn it on.
I was afraid that they sent it back, but then I realized that it was opened. And I'm like, oh. But it had another piece of tape there. I took the piece of tape off, opened it up, saw a proof of repair paper there. And I'm like, wow. Amazing.
And then you loaded it up, and nothing was changed? Nothing was wrong?
Nothing was changed except for... a lot of extra porn I found on it. No, I'm joking.
So that's what the Apple's all about.
Oh, what? Okay, that went over my head if that was anything.
Never mind.
Yeah.
It's an old... Yeah, I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, please don't.
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
All right,
that
so...
that might be a good idea.
What else do we have for today? We have more sections than just news.
We do? Oh, wait, we're out of news? We're already run drive news?
Well, let's just take a break from news for a moment, because there's not that much going on this week, particularly.
So I guess we should go on to the, what is it? How about Distro of the Week?
Let's do Distro of the Week.
Let's do Distro of the Week. Pull out that stream for a minute there. Don't worry, each section is going to have its own little theme soon, and we're not going to keep using that theme.
Oh, we're just using it for testing purposes at the moment.
Yeah, not testing purposes. More of like to have
place
something.
Okay, placeholder. Shh.
Right. Anyway, yes. Distro of the week.
Make it pretend you sound like you know what you're doing.
Yes. It's time for the distro of the week. The distro of the week is nothing more than a report on a distro that was used by one of us throughout the week.
Right.
Now, don't get all worried that by distro of the week we are limited to Linux distributions. By distro, I mean anything from a small homemade OS and a few utils on a floppy to Windows XP with Service Pack 2.
Although, hopefully, we'll never have to go that low. But go on.
Yeah. Also, exactly. Also, know by being the distro of the week doesn't mean it's a good distro. It all depends on how the week went using it, so... yeah.
Well, whether we had fun with it, whether it crashed too many times, whether it worked.
Yeah, we probably won't use Windows as distro of the week, because saying... Windows sucks is just like, yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
It's nice to have a nice little virtual sound card.
I think we should
here.
Do it 1 week. Microsoft Appreciation Week. We should do it.
We should have a Microsoft Appreciation Week, but still have another distro for
like
distro
you said,
of the week.
Just because it's distro of the week doesn't mean it has to be good. Now, anyway, go on.
Exactly. Anyway, if you have a distro you specifically would like a report done on by one of us, just drop a line to basenet@slicko.net. Slicko with a zero.
And we'll get around to it as soon as, you know, we have a chance.
And, you know, this first one, the first distro of the week, is one that I was actually using for a few weeks, and it actually gave me the idea because I just kind of came across it.
Right,
and
it was like, you were just fooling around with it,
I'm
remember.
Like, wow, I could actually use this. And what was it? I was on, like, Linux distribution, or Linux.org distributions, And I always do, like, select all, even though it warns me I'll get a huge list. I really don't mind. And I just selected a random distro, came up with that.
Right, just picked it at random.
Right.
And you came up with?
And I came up with Arch Linux.
Is it Arch or Arc? It doesn't matter.
No, it's Arch Linux.
You sure? Okay.
Yes, because Arc Linux is another distro spelled A-R-K. This one's A-R-C-H.
Okay.
And the URL for it is archlinux.org. And yes, it's a Linux distribution. It is optimized for 686 class CPUs. So even though it seems to run nice and fast on my 300 megahertz Pentium 2 laptop,
it's not really optimized.
It's not going to run on much less than that.
Right.
Oh no, it is optimized for
Pentium
2. It's 686 class. 686,
not 486.
Right.
Oh wow.
You also won't see it running on any other architectures for that matter. Similar to how Debian has its apt-get, Arch Linux uses a package manager able to download its latest package list, search through the list, update your system, and install or remove any package in that list.
Okay, what do they call it?
The package manager is known as Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, all right.
Yes, I like that.
Can you set it up to do like waka 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 waka?
Yeah, and you could also set it up to eat ghosts, too, I would imagine. No, no.
Grab the cherry, quick.
Yes, it's... Pac-Man is better than it is in the arcade because this one takes care of any dependencies, too.
All right. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Anybody who's used Slackware knows all about dependency help.
Oh, man.
Much more often than not, Arch Linux has the latest stable packages available for the software it provides. After a default base system install, your computer would have just what you need to boot up, get on the internet, and start installing any packages you would want for your system. Yeah. You may want to be comfortable with hand-configuring some system files with either Vi or Nano before going through the install, as you will need to edit some things such as Milo or Grub's config and the FS tab. But
yeah, especially if you're like dual booting or something like that. Too,
right, so. But they're all just the kind of files that in a GNU Linux system, once you know, you could change in your sleep.
Right, yeah, you do that almost every time you install. Just set it up the way you like it, you know, have the opening boot message to whatever you like. I changed mine again.
Right.
Crazy error messages set up.
Now, they do have forms for helping those getting in any trouble with the distro.
That's
so
good.
I've only skipped through the forms. It seems that the community there is very helpful. And from what I've seen, it's not likely that if you ask a stupid question, you'll be called a noob and laughed off.
All right, so it's somewhat friendly.
Yeah, they even have a newbie section, too.
So you'd recommend this to someone who just starts off, because it has Pac-Man. So
yeah.
They can get everything easy.
Well,
it has the dependencies built in.
It's for people who are just starting off but want to learn going deeper than just the GUI.
Right, so it's not a redhead kind of starting off. It's more
even though my second distro was first was Red Hat.
Right, everyone starts on one of the major ones for some reason.
Well, I should say first Linux distro, but yes, it was Red
not
Hat.
Everyone, but a lot of
my
people.
Second, I went straight to Slack. That, I think, was the best thing I did, because I learned a lot.
I set it up differently. I went from Red Hat... jumped to Mandrake, then I went down to Slack.
Okay.
So it was like there was another step in between.
I like trying out different distros. I guess that's why I'm doing this distro of the weekend.
Yeah, I've tried quite a few.
Anyway, well, like I was saying, while playing around with Arch Linux, it surprised me with some of the lesser known packages that I really didn't expect it to have. Also, the CD installation process took only about, like, 10-15 minutes.
That's a lot. That's fast. Wow.
I was going to say, that's a lot.
I was going to say, that's a lot faster than I'm used to. But
right.
Cut myself off, like, Gen 2 or something.
that's on a 300 megahertz Pentium 2. Gen 2.
10? Oh, wow. Yeah. That's only 10 months.
Yeah. Though, if you choose to build your own kernel, it's going to add a bit of time, depending on your system. Like mine, it took maybe 45 minutes, an hour or so.
Yeah, but you set it up for everything that you have. You have a whole bunch of equipment down here. So.
All right. And it wasn't this computer.
Oh, it wasn't that computer?
It was a laptop.
Oh, it was a laptop.
Yes.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, right.
It's so slow.
It's just all for 300 megahertz, right?
I have a couple of shit. Go on.
Using Pac-Man to upgrade and install packages is very easy. Just, like, Pac-Man dash capital S lowercase y to sync the package list. Another one, Pac-Man dash capital S lowercase u to upgrade any outdated packages. Dash capital S lowercase s and the search term to search for something, obviously.
That's cool.
And dash s and a package name to install a package.
All right, did you notice any packages that you would have wanted to be on the list that wasn't there?
I haven't been using it long enough. Yep, Metroid.
Hey,
Tanaka. You know who that is?
Tanaka? One of the most?
He did the music for this.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that sad? I'm such a geek. I know the name of the guy who composed the Metroid theme.
You're not as bad as the guy who runs the site for this thing, but it's okay.
Yeah. There are many more features Pac-Man has that can be found in the man file, but the ones that I just said are all you need to know for basic administration. I like the choice of packages Arch Linux provides, as you just asked.
Yeah.
As well as his package manager. However, as with any new Linux distribution that isn't source-based, there's very little that can be done about portability aside from starting an entire community towards repackaging everything in the distro.
Ugh. Well, then you'd just be making a whole new distro.
Right. I mean, everything in Arch Linux just seemed to work.
Now,
I was very happy with that, because a lot of distros, you get a bumpy start.
Right, and then you just got to slowly ease your way in.
Right. And this one, I was able to jump in and just start using stuff, and it's great for setting up a box in a day.
Right, but does it give you enough trouble so that you're forced to learn a couple things on the way? Like, with a Slack install, you're always forced to learn something on the way.
I didn't learn anything just because I've already been through Slackware.
True, okay.
I've also done, Linux from scratch,
all
that stuff. So, as far as installing a Linux distro to learn something, I'm pretty much already tapped out. Yeah.
Alright, well, let's see. Another question I had, because you were mentioning this before outside the show. It has a different file structure for hard drives.
Does it?
Than what you were used to. It was like HDA or regular. It was using something else.
It seemed to be exclusively using the dev file system.
Just the devs?
Okay, just the devs, so it didn't have... No, it did after the install.
After
it had HDA and
HDB. Oh, okay.
Prior to the install, it was using /disk/... whatever the dev file system is. Ooh, another good one, the Zelda intro. Well, it sounds like what used to be running on, my playlist locally on this machine.
Wow.
No, not this machine specifically.
It sounds like a TV back
when
I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like.
No, it didn't.
I actually...
1 second later, it went to...
You know what I was playing this morning when I got home from work?
What's that?
Link.
Link?
Zelda 2.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I got this, one of those stupid, USB... joypads?
Oh, you got one?
Yeah, no, just wanted to test it out, so I just loaded up an emulator. Started playing.
I got I forget what kind, but yeah, a USB joypad that was set up just like a PlayStation controller.
That's the one I have.
Yeah.
Something similar like that.
Okay.
What I want to do is I want to get some old Nintendo joysticks off the eBay or something, and you perform the hack where you make them into USB connections and use those for the so it feels like I'm really playing it for the first time.
Okay.
I remember seeing that on Hackaday, I think, as well.
Alright. That's fun.
they sell some sort of converter kit so that you can get the whole thing set up.
Amazing.
That's a couple... 2 minutes work, really. You know, a bit of a soldering iron and you're set.
Speaking of 2 minutes of work, we have about 2 minutes left.
You're kidding.
No, a minute. However many seconds.
Oh my god, I don't even have time to shout out for DMED and Death Flash and all the other people that
you
like,
just did.
Help.
Yeah,
chip in for all this.
Definitely, shouts out to DMED who wasn't able to make it today. And,
don't forget, shouts out to Stank Dog for, like, helping us in some of the
Everyone at BinRev, anyone in the DDP.
If it wasn't for that, Hacker Radio at the Fifth Hope.
Yeah, if we didn't see the Hacker Radio panel, I was sitting next to Slade, and I'm like, I have a studio in my basement. Oh, now Castlevania won't come on. I have a studio in my basement. We could use that for recording.
Right. We were at, dumpster diving or something. I was like, let's try the other one, though.
Yeah. The other one was better.
Good choice. It changed our lives right there.
All right. Well, that concludes this week's BaseNet Radio. Up next, according to the DDP Hack Radio schedule, is Artscene Radio, talk show presented by Anti-Creators in Demand. We'll let you go out with, little bit of, what did I say this was? Castlevania.
Castlevania, right.
All right.
Take care, man.
Have a good night.